Go with me, if you would, to Hebrews 13 again. Hebrews 13. Let me give you the title of this message, and then we'll read the verses that lead up to where the title's taken from. The title is The End of Our Conversation. The end of our conversation. The goal of our conversation. The object of our conversation. The prize of our conversation. Now let's begin reading in verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And the word there is in italics. Considering the end of conversation. Considering the end of our conversation. Considering the goal. Considering the object. Considering the prize. And what is it? What is the glory and the joy of our conversation? Verse 8 says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. That's the joy of our conversation. That's the end. That's the object. That's the goal of our conversation. Now, I want to just talk to you. I don't know if this is going to be a normal message or not a normal message. I don't know. But I just want to talk to you. That's all I want to do. I want to be candid with you from my own heart. I just want to honestly, very sincerely tell you what's in my heart. And I know when I say these things to you, I wrote it all down because I'm not one to remember, but I have something that I want to say to you, and I know when I do, you will feel the same way. If you belong to Christ, you'll feel the same way. But I'll just tell you this from the sincerity of my own heart. I want to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. I really do. I want to be with Him. I very, very sincerely want to be with Him. The more that I see of Him in His Word, the longer we go, we see Him in this place, we see Him in that place, we see Him in this light, we see Him in that light. The more that I see of Him in His Word, the more real He becomes to me. And some of these things that I'm going to say, it's going to be hard for a young person to enter into it, because for me, it has come with time. But the more that I see of him, the more real he becomes to me. And the more real his kingdom becomes to me. It's becoming very real to me. A real place with real people who I really love. And the more real an existence with him becomes to me, I start to imagine and think about what an existence with him is going to be like. A true life, a true conversation, a true existence with him. Seeing more of him in his word makes everything concerning eternity more real to me. When that moment comes and we cross over into eternity, it's becoming more real to me. And the more real it becomes to me, the more ready I am to go. I believe, I feel in my heart. Now, if somebody said, "You're about to go," I'm sure fear would jump in there and I'd be afraid and I'd be torn all to pieces. I'm not saying I wouldn't be. But in this moment right now, I believe I'm more ready to go than I was 5-10 years ago. I'm getting more excited. I'll never forget that when my mother, not long at all, just weeks before the Lord took her, she was reading the scripture, sitting in our living room. I was on the couch. She was in her chair, and she started laughing. And I said, "What?" She said, "Nothing." I said, "Really, what?" She said, "Don't worry about it." I said, "Tell me, what is it?" She said, "I'm getting excited. I'm getting excited. It's becoming real. Everything is becoming real. The more real it becomes to me, the more ready I am to go. I want to exist with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I want. Now, I fully enter into what the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 1. He said, "I'm in a strait between the two. I'm torn between the two." That's what he said. He said, "I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." That's what's becoming real to me. It's far better. But Paul said, "To abide in the flesh is more needful for you." And I feel that. I understand what he's saying. All we need is Christ. All I need is Christ. All you need is Christ. All my children need is Christ. All this world needs is Christ. I'm nobody. I'm nothing. But if I can just speak in my humanity to you, just the thoughts that go on in my mind, I have a family that needs me. Now, you know, you understand what I'm saying. I have a family that needs me. I want to believe that I have a congregation who needs me. I have friends who need me. Most importantly of all that, I believe God has sheep out there. I believe that's why he raised up the gospel in Kingsport. I believe it's because God has sheep out there who have never heard the call of love from his gospel before. And I pray that we'll have the ability to send that gospel call for as long as the Lord will allow us to send it. I understand that the gospel moves. It doesn't stay in one place forever. And I don't know how long he'll keep it here. But as long as he will, I pray he'll let us have the joy and the blessing of sending that message out. I was so encouraged a couple of weeks ago. You know, a lot of times I'll get a voicemail. We start our Bible study at 9 o'clock and our service is I always start at 10 o'clock and our service is at 10:45. Well, the TV broadcast goes out at 10:30. And a lot of times after I'm done, I'll have a voicemail. A couple of weeks ago, I got one and it blessed my heart so much. A man called and he said, I've got to have that message. I've got to have a copy of that message. That was so encouraging to me. Brother Obie makes our CDs and sends them out. And I called him today. I texted him today and said, a fella called. He wants a CD. That's encouraging to me. It's such a joy and such a blessing. And as long as he will allow us to stay here and do that, I want to stay here and do that. I want to go be with him. But as long as he'll let us send that gospel out, I want to stay here and do that. Now, I know that he is not going to lose and he's not going to leave behind one soul that he purposed to save, whether I'm here or not, or whether any man is here or not. He's not going to lose one. And he's not going to leave behind one. But I also know that he has purposed to call every single soul to salvation through the means of a man preaching the gospel. And I believe he's given us a heart to preach that gospel. I really do. I believe he has given us a heart to preach the gospel. And so for that reason, I'm happy to stay and I'm excited to stay. I'm excited to see what he'll do. But while I and while you stay here and do these things that are necessary to stay here and do, our conversation, the tenor of our life, the direction that we lean toward in everything is Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is everything to us. We are looking to him. We are looking for him. I have it in my mind. I just have it in my mind, humanly speaking, that the Lord will take me before he returns. But he may not. I mean, he may return before he takes us. And we need to be looking for him every day. We need to be looking for him, and we are. We're waiting for him. We are talking about him. We're anticipating being with him. And the longer that we go in these things, the more that we look into these things and the more that we see of him, the more we're falling in love with him. That's what is happening here. If you want to know how can a person sit under that same message week after week, year after year, decade after decade, here's how. We're falling in love with him. That's what's happening. That's what's keeping us. You don't have to keep any of God's people because they've fallen in love with him. And we are falling in love with him. We are falling in love with his character. That's what's happening. The more that we hear him say the things that he said, and the more that we're falling in love with who he is, we're falling in love with his mind concerning things, what he thinks about things, and we're falling in love with his heart concerning things. We're falling in love with the fact that he loves us. The more that we see of his love for us, as soon as somebody hears that somebody else likes them, it makes you like that person. As soon as somebody hears that somebody loves them, it makes you love that person. And the more that we hear of his love for us, we're falling in love with that. We're falling in love with his care for us. I realize more and more as I go, I'm really not providing for my family. He is. He's providing for my family. And he's taking care of all these things. We're falling in love with his pity for us. He has pity on us. We most definitely have fallen in love with everything that He's done for us and given for us, not just to us, but for us in Himself, the sacrifice of Himself. He has sacrificed Himself to us. The sacrifice of His death. How can you enter into the love we have for everything that He did in that? In His death, we're falling in love with His power and His authority in it. We're all afraid of death. We're all afraid of death. The reason we're excited for eternity is because it's life, not death. I don't want to have anything to do with death. I want to pass on to life. And we're falling in love with His power and authority over every bit of it. We're falling in love with His power to save us. And His power to lay down His own life. And His power to take His life again. We love His authority over everything concerning what's to come. He said, I hold the keys of hell and death. It's all in His hands. We love His victory over all things concerning us. We love the certainty. Don't you love the matter of factness? The certainty and the safety that we have in Him. We love that every promise from Him is yea and amen. Every promise. There are no ifs, ands, or buts with Him. Don't you love that? None. We love the fact that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That is the end of our conversation here on this earth. It's Him. He is the conversation of our life. And we love that that's the case. We love it. We love, by faith, seeing Him as He was in the beginning. What His delights were. We love, by faith, through His Word, seeing Him as He is right now. And we love, through the promise of the Scripture, seeing Him as He will be in the future. And you know what we love about Him? About all that? It's the same. It is the same. What we saw in Him in the days of Moses and in the days of Noah, we saw a holy God of judgment for sin. He's still that same holy God today, and He'll be that same holy God forever. What we saw Him to be in the days of Joshua and David, we went through the story of Joshua and all that, everything he conquered. David defeat all of his enemies. We love the defeating of all of his foes, the victory in all of his battles. He is still that same glorious in power, victorious God today, and He will be that victorious God forever. What we saw Him to be in the days of His incarnation on this earth, the Son of Man. That's what we saw when He, for 33 and a half years, we saw the Son of Man. We saw a man who was humble and self-proclaimed to be meek. Lowly, He called Himself. Substitute for sinners. The one who touched Himself with the feeling of our infirmities. The one who understands, the one who intercedes. What we saw is our mediator between God and men. Our advocate with the Father. He is still that same glorious friend of sinners. He's still the same glorious friend of sinners today. And He will be that friend of sinners forever. Proof of that is in what we saw of Him hanging on the cross as our Lamb slain for sin. He was our lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He will be our lamb slain in the midst of the throne forever. The glory in our conversation concerning him is in the fact that he does not change. He does not change. That's the beauty of his character. He does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. To me, one of the greatest character traits that a person can have is being the same. Just being the same. You know, whenever you have to try to figure out how a person's going to be today, or how are you today? How do I need to handle you today? I just like it when people are the same. If you're going to be mean to me, just be mean always. I'll know what to... No, don't. Please don't. You know what I mean, though. It's a wonderful character trait. Just the same. I love seeing that in our Lord. That's our security. That's our eternal security. Turn with me over to Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. He said, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." I'm the Lord, I change not. I've heard many people say, well, God changes all the time. He changes his mind. I've heard many people say that. I would dread the thought to think that God changed all the time. And I know he said that, but you can't count on that anymore. I would dread the thought. I change not. He said, that's why you sinful sons of Jacob are not consumed. It's because I change not. James said, there is no variableness or shadow of turning in him. I love that. Lamentations 3 says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They do not change. They are new every morning. That means exactly like they were yesterday. That means they start over in the same place they did yesterday. Great is thy faithfulness. That's so beautiful. That's just beautiful. Great is thy faithfulness. There's nothing more beautiful. I tell you, a glorious character trait is faithfulness. Just faithfulness. Turn with me to Hebrews 6. Every time we turn to Hebrews 6, I believe I'm going to tell you that I love this verse of Scripture. I adore this verse of Scripture. Hebrews 6, verse 13, it says, for when God made promise to Abraham, God made a promise to Abraham. And it says, when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. And I say this every time, but I'm going to say it again. No one needs to ever say, I swear to God. Don't ever say that, never. But the only one who could said, I swear to God. That's just awesome to me. That is so holy. Because he could swear by no greater, he swore. He said, I swear. Verse 14, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. If I said I'll do it, I'll do it. Verse 15, and so after he had patiently endured, Abraham obtained the promise. God did it. Verse 16, for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel. That means the unchangeability, if that's even a word. God willing to show that he does not change. Willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, two unchangeable things, his oath and his covenant, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. This hope, this unchangeable promise, is an anchor for our soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That means he made a promise of redemption to his people, a promise of atonement, a promise of salvation. He made a promise to make a payment of blood for them. And he'll never go back on his promise. Never. He is unchangeable in word, in deed, in character, in everything that he is as God and man. So go back to our text, Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 1 says, let brotherly love continue. His love is the same. That everlasting love that he had for us before he formed us in the belly, he still has that love for us. I've tried to ruin it. You know, I can ruin another human being's love for me, but not him. He has the same love. He'll always be there. It will not change. Verse 2 says, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. His hospitality is the same. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. It will not change. He said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. I think all the time about the fact that because he said that in my heart, I can go to him. Lord, I'm coming. Based on what you said, that I will not be cast out. I'm coming. I'm begging for mercy. He said, I'll in no wise cast out. Not now, not ever. Verse 3 says, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. His compassion, his suffering pity that tied him to our bonds, it's still exactly the same. He knows how to comfort us. He knows how to console us, because he suffered the same sufferings we did. He took our sufferings upon himself. Verse 4 says, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. His union with us is still exactly the same. In the beginning, it says our husband was our maker. In the end, we'll be the Lamb's wife. That union is still the same. Verse 5 says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. His faithfulness is still exactly the same. Great is his faithfulness. God is faithful. God is faithful. Verse 6 says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. His help is exactly the same. The way he helped our brethren, he will help us. We have seen some miraculous help in here. And the way he helped them, he will help us. His help is exactly the same. He is still a very present help in trouble. Verse 7 says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God. His word will forever be the same. Not one word will fail. Not one word will be broken. It goes on to say, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Considering the end of our conversation, the goal, the prize. Verse 8, here it is. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. What this word says he was and he is and he will be, he was, he is, and he will be. Thank God he's the same. He's the same. We can count on him. For the rest of this time, however long it may be, we can count on him. And when that time comes, whether he takes us before he returns or he returns before he takes us, we can count on him in that moment. And then for all eternity, we're going to be able to count on him. He is the same. He's the same. Now, I'm going to go ahead and close. I was going to close with Acts chapter 1. And we're not going to read it just because I've been long enough. But this is what it says. It says that the Lord, right before he ascended back to his Father, he spoke to the disciples and he told them some things. And they were asking him some questions. He blessed them. And he departed up into heaven, and they all stood there with their faces looking up toward heaven, watching him as he arose. And while they were standing there looking up to heaven, two men appeared in white shining garments, and they said, you men of Israel, why stand you here gazing into heaven? This same Jesus who you have watched go into heaven, he's going to come back down just like he went up. I have fallen in love with the Jesus Christ of Scripture. It's the only one I know. This is the man I've fallen in love with. The man from the Old Testament, the man from the New Testament, the man from 2,000 years ago. This is the man I've fallen in love with. This same Jesus is coming back in like manner as we saw him go up. And after they realized that, all the disciples went back into an upper room, and it listed all of the names of the apostles, and it said they were there with the rest of the disciples and with the women. They were there with Mary and all of them. And what do you suppose, while they were all sitting there in that upper room, what do you suppose her conversation was? Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, forever. Their conversation, that's our conversation. Conversation of all God's people. All right, let's all stand together.